message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. Pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's Word.
Amen. Praise the Lord for you being here. If you have your Bible, and I pray that you do, I invite you to take it now and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4, our text this morning as we continue in this series in the book of Ephesians called Ekklesia. We've called this ekklesia because that's the Greek word for church. The book of Ephesians speaks numerous times about what it means to be in the church and of the church. And the whole emphasis of the book of Ephesians is Paul is trying to help the church at Ephesus understand what it means to be in Christ, how to relate to each other, and how to live out the gospel. And that's where we are as a church, even today in 2009, always needing to be reminded of what it means to be in Christ, what it means to live together, and how to live out the gospel. And so as we go through the book of Ephesians, we look at this and we by definition look at what it means to be ekklesia. The word ekklesia, Greek, means to be called out. And so when you chose Christ as your Lord and Savior and God placed faith in your heart to turn to Christ, He called you out of the world and out of sin and called you into Jesus. And so that's what it means to be a part of the church. When you became a part of this church, and for those who just went through our membership class, it's not that you just choose to be a part of just a group here. You say you're part of the church, it means that you're a part of Christ. You've called you out of a life of sin and called you into a life of godliness. And so that's why we're looking at the book of Ephesians. And today we look at specifically Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through verse 16 as a continuation from last week. As we looked last week at verse 7 through verse 13 of this emphasis about being equipped as a church, and that when we are equipped, we accomplish unity as a body of Christ. Not just unity when it comes to relating to one another, but unity when it speaks about content, speaks about doctrine. A church that has a multiple view of biblical teachings within one local congregation can be a recipe for disaster. We have to understand what is essential and what is biblical. And that's why God gives pastors and teachers to the church, to make certain that pastors and teachers are equipping the church to know what is true. A friend of mine who is a pastor of a church in Birmingham, he's now moved away from that location, but he was guiding this specific church to understand some biblical truth. And one person in the congregation said, "Who's given you the right to be able to tell us what is right?" And he said, "Well, the Bible has called me to do that." And I want you to understand that's what God places pastors and teachers in the church for. To guide the church into truth, to protect the church from error and false teaching. And we looked last week to see how that in the church there's a diversity of gifts. You remember that, correct? In verse 1 through 6, Paul's emphasis in Ephesians 4 emphasizes that in the body of Christ there is unity. There's oneness, that we all come into the body through Christ. So we are one. However, even in our unity and oneness, verse 7 through verse 13, Paul emphasizes that there's diversity, not division, but diversity of gifts. Some of you have different gifts than the others. When we get to verse 14 through verse 16, we see where Paul continues that aspect to continue to amplify the importance of being equipped by pastors and teachers. And so he's going to help us to realize the value of you being fed the Word of God, being fed the truth, and being challenged and to be equipped. Now, through this message this morning, I'm going to give you a couple of challenges at the end of this message, and I just want you to know where we're going on this. I want you to realize through this Word how vitally important it is for every one of you who are a believer, who is a believer, to be connected to a local body of believers. You're going to see in this word today how it is not really an option. It is an expectation for a believer to be connected. So for those of you who just visit with us periodically, I just want you to know that I'm going to give you a challenge biblically, that you have a responsibility to the Word of God today to realize it's important for you not to simply wander in and out of congregations, but that He longs for you to find a place, plant in that congregation so you can be fed, but also so that you can give to that body as well. Now, for those of you who already made a commitment to this local congregation, I praise God for you. And I want you to realize what you're supposed to do once you're in the congregation, once you are a part of the local body. It's not like once you make the commitment, you check it off and you're done. There's a continual responsibility for all of us. So believers, make your ears keen to hear the word of God this morning, and may God challenge us and equip us and encourage us to understand what it means to be a part of the church. Now listen to me. I've said this many times, I'll say it to you again. I do not want you as a believer or us as a church corporately to simply just exist. I want us to be moving forward individually in our faith and corporately as a congregation. And that's the importance of seeing this word today. For the sake of context, I want us to begin at verse 1, chapter 4. And let's read verse 1 through verse 16 so we can understand the flow of thought that Paul gives us this morning. If you would, you have your page, you have your copy there open. Let's stand in reverence for the reading of God's word this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 16. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he, speaking of Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ. And there's the reason why he said he's given us pastors and teachers to the church to equip you and to build it up for three goals. One, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The second goal is that we would achieve mature manhood. And the third goal is that we would achieve the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here's our text today. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. Change us because your word is alive and active. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And I want you to notice here, praise God, I like that, brother. That's good. All of you got that enthusiasm for the rest of the sermon? All right. Now notice, I want you to notice something at the end. I want to begin at the end and go back to the beginning. Notice what Paul says after you're equipped and the body is working together. Notice what it says there at verse 16. It's working how? Properly. Do you know what that implies? That it's possible for some local congregations to not work properly. Everybody with that? So this is why this passage is extremely important. So Christians, believers, turn your ears and your mind to understand why it's important for you to hear this word this morning. You are not a haphazard involvement in the body of Christ. You are essential to the body of Christ. I don't care if you're 6 and you're a believer or if you're 96 and a believer. The Bible tells us that when you come into Christ, you're a part of the body and you're important to us. Okay, so now let's begin. Let's go back to verse 14 and let's see the connection of what Paul is saying. I point those out to you as we're reading through the text this morning. But Paul told us last week that he has given pastors and teachers to equip you and also so you can be built up for three goals so that you could attain what? The unity of the faith of the Son of God, mature manhood and Christ-likeness, to be like Jesus. That's the goals that we're to achieve. And he tells us that we do that so that we won't be like children. Now, this next section here is a result of those previous things. It's essential. It's important that you're built up so that this first aspect can happen. I want to share with you three truths today in this passage of Scripture of why that I equip you, why Andrew, why Robert, and why Jared, and those who serve on staff equip the church, and why in the future, as we move towards plurality of elders, those who are qualified to do that, to be able to be it, to equip the church to build us up. Now, let's look at verse 14. The first truth that I want you to see this morning is that pastors equip the church so that believers will not be children in the faith, but mature in the faith. Now, in your bulletin this morning, there's a sermon guide. I would encourage you to take that out with you this morning. I've given you some blanks that I want you to fill out this morning. I want you to engage your mind as you listen to the word this morning. This is important. I want you to follow along this morning so that you could be able to take these truths, go home this afternoon or first thing in the morning when you get up to read your Bible, go back over these truths. It's important. I want you to hear it this morning. Pastors equip the church so that believers will not be children in the faith, but mature in the faith. Look again there at verse 14. Remember the context. You're being built up. You're being equipped. Verse 14, so that we may longer be children. Now, I want you to notice something. If you're taking notes in your Bible, even notice the pronoun that is used there. So that who? We. Now, notice who Paul doesn't distinguish out. Himself. He doesn't say so that you may grow up. He says so that we, corporately, as a church. It's a burden. Listen to me. If you think that you're maturing in the faith and you have no concern for the rest of the body, that is not a biblical understanding of the church. Paul says that you're being equipped by pastors and teachers so that we all may no longer be children in the faith. So if Miss Clara sees a sister in Christ who's not maturing in the faith, Miss Clara needs to be concerned for that sister. If I see somebody else who's not growing in the faith, we need to be concerned. Paul includes himself in that category. Do you see that? So that we may no longer be children. It's a burden for him to see the church to grow. Now listen. This message, I want you to understand the context. Paul is not speaking this word in a judgmental or a condemning way to the church at Ephesus because they were still young Christians. It's not a word to say, listen, you need to be mature right now, so you need to mature. He's given them an expectation for them by being in Jesus. So hear the word this morning. It is an expectation for every one of you who are in Christ to not stay as a child in the faith. It's not good enough for you to only memorize John 3:16 for your whole 60 years of your life. I was challenged one time when I was a youth pastor, went to a conference and we were taking our students to this conference and the speaker got up and he said, for those of you who are believers, how many of you can quote a verse for every year of your age? If you're 31, you should know 31 verses at the least. It's a challenge, isn't it? We kind of hang on to what we've held on to, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, and John 3:16. We say these things over and over. That's why we're putting an emphasis on Scripture memorization. I want you to mature and not be children of the faith. Paul gives an expectation for them. Listen, they had come from a pluralistic, pagan society, and Paul says to them, look, I know this is where you were, but you're in Christ now, and so now it's time for you to grow up and be mature. It's like the birds saying to the baby birds, it's time to get out of the nest and grow, fly, mature in your faith. And I want to say that to all of us as believers in Christ. We should not be satisfied where we are in our faith. We should be thankful for what God is doing in our lives. We should be thankful for what we're learning. But we should always say, God, I want to learn more of you. I want to get the greatness of God, the supremacy of God, the sovereignty of God, and understand that great truth. Now listen. If you stay as a baby in Christ, there are words of judgment spoken to us. Keep your finger here, and I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. To the right. If you're looking in your Bible, you're going to the right. Just a few books over, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 1. When the author of Hebrews was writing to Christians, they were those who'd been Christians for years. And the author here actually speaks a word of judgment to them because they had not been growing in the faith. So let me show you this word, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 1. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, You still need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us, say the word with me, leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to, say the word, maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Now, what does this author say we need to leave? The basic doctrine of Christ. He's not saying it's not important, but he's saying that's the essential doctrine for you to be able to come into a relationship with God is understanding who Jesus is. Now go back to Ephesians 4, and I want you to see how Paul says that's the basic doctrine that we all need to be unified in. Look again at chapter 4, verse 13 of Ephesians. Remember, he says we're building you up and equipping you. Why? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of who? Of the Son of God. Listen, this is an essential teaching. If you do not understand that Jesus was divine and that he was eternal and that he's always been and that he was perfect and that he took the wrath of God on the cross, you cannot come into faith with Christ. If you simply think that he's anything else other than God, then you didn't get born again. Because Jesus is king, he is ruler, he is prophet, he is priest, he is perfect, he is eternal. He died for our sins, the atoning death, he took the wrath of God. That's what Paul is saying, that's what the author of Hebrews said. We must come to the unity of understanding of who the Son of God is. If someone simply says to you, well, that's fine, you believe what you want to believe about Jesus, I believe what I want to believe, there is not a unity in the understanding of who the Son of God is. Paul tells us we need to make certain that we're mature in this. So listen to me. Most false teachings begin at the root of the understanding of Jesus. Let me give you an example. Jehovah's Witnesses, for example. Many of you probably had them knocked on your door before. Some of you have converted from that. Praise God for that. But when they knock on your door and they talk about Jesus to you, I've had a long conversation over a year of having breakfast with an individual, beginning trying to witness to a person of the Son of God. And I want you to see how important it is to understanding the Son of God. They will say that Jesus was a created being, that he was not always eternal, and that when the baby Jesus was born, it was simply a human being. It was not God in the flesh at that moment. That Jesus didn't actually, the divine being, did not actually come on the earth until Jesus, the human, was baptized by John. And at that moment, the divine Jesus came upon Jesus and became the divine Jesus. Are you with me? But then they'll actually go so far as to say that Jesus is actually the archangel Michael, not Jesus, the Son of God. And then when he came to the cross, the archangel Michael left Jesus and left the human on the cross. Folks, let me tell you something. If that's what you believe about Jesus, you have a problem about your sins being atoned for. Because there has to be a divine Jesus, and there has to be a perfect man to die and atone for your sins. And if there is an imperfect man on the cross for you, listen, we are all damned and destined for hell. That's why Paul says it's important for us to not be children of the faith, because if you're not growing in the word, listen, it can be very cunning and deceiving when they sit and talk to you. It almost makes sense. That's the scary part. And that's exactly what Paul says in this verse. Look at the verse again. I want you to not be children. Why? So that you won't be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. The cunning and the craftiness speaks about the deceptive aspects of the way that those false truths come in. Listen, the reason why it almost sounds convincing is because it sounds very similar to what you've heard about Jesus being the only way. And so when we grow in the faith and we understand, you begin to discern from what is true from what is right. Listen, counterfeit money fools people. Why? Because it looks almost identical to the truth. And this is exactly the way Satan works. I want you to hear with me the individuals who speak false truth. Notice again in verse 14. Notice where Paul says it comes from. You're tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine by who? Human cunning and craftiness. Listen, it's not that Satan's just sitting on your shoulder and telling you error and falsehood. It comes from human agents. Paul warned the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 20. If you want to take notes, Acts 20, verse 29 and 30. Paul told the elders, he said, when I leave here, there will be individuals who will come in like ravenous wolves seeking to lead people astray. Listen to me. When false teachers speak, they're not doing it just to confuse you. They're doing it to lead you astray and get a following. They're not doing it just to make you think that you're confused about what to believe. They're doing it with a purpose and with an aim. When Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door, do you think they're just knocking on your door simply because they think that they just want to confuse you? They're seeking to lead you astray. Now listen, I know that I'm just using them as an example. And some of you have family members who are in that. So listen to me. I'm saying this with grace. I'm saying this with a burden. Because we do have individuals in our church who have family members who are connected into that teaching. It means that we should be burdened for them. Not bashing. But listen, for you to understand false teaching, I have to explain to you what false teaching is. Everybody with me? So my heart is heavy for those of you who have family in that. But notice where else this false teaching comes from. Look at the text again in verse 14. Not only does it come by human cunning, by craftiness, which craftiness just further amplifies the cunning and the way it happens. But notice this last word. It comes in how? In deceitful schemes. Listen to me. This word of schemes in the New Testament is always usually associated with Satan himself. Let me show you, and then I want to give you the point. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and verse 11. Notice what Paul says about the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of who? The devil. Now listen to me. Go back to Ephesians 4. And this is why it's important for you to be mature in the faith. Because Paul says that you can be tossed to and fro by human cunning, but it's actually from the deceitful schemes of Satan himself. Put it together. The human agents who are speaking false truth don't realize it, but they're actually agents in the hand of Satan. Are you with me? So when you realize that, and you see someone coming to you with falsehood, you need to understand that's why it's important for us to be mature in the faith. They don't realize it, but you need to understand it, that they are ensnared and they are in a foothold of Satan himself. And that's why you need to see them. Listen, you slam the door in their face, you are not doing a work of the gospel. You need to be mature in the faith to speak the word of God. And listen, if you're not mature in the faith, notice what Paul says happens to you. You become tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Tossed to and fro. I've seen Christians, this happens time and time again. Whatever the newest teaching that comes along, they latch onto it because they're not getting grounded in the faith. Now, Paul's using a boating imagery here. Listen, when Liz and I were in Grand Isle, our landlords had a sailboat. And they said, we want to take us out on the sailboat. Now, for those of you who have ridden sailboats before, you can be experiencing this. But when that boat started tilting over sideways, I thought I was about to be in the Gulf of Mexico. Because I'm touching the water and the edge of the boat is at the water. But there's a part on the bottom of the boat that sticks down almost as twice or three times as long as a sailboat is. It's weighted extremely heavy so that no matter what wave comes its way, the boat doesn't turn over. But also, the person who's driving the boat knows when to take the sail down so that the waves won't overcome and the wind won't be too strong for the boat. But Paul gives us an analogy of someone who doesn't know how when to take the sail down, who doesn't know how to ride in waves, someone who doesn't have their bearing. Someone who doesn't have a rudder. Someone who doesn't have a rudder on their boat can't go anywhere. They're simply at the mercy of the waves. Correct, boatman? If you're in a boat and your rudder breaks, you better get in the water and fix that rudder. Otherwise, you're going to be out there on the water for a long time. And literally, the word that's right here, this word tossed to and fro and carried about, the word carried here actually carries the imagery and meaning that it means someone who's been spun around so strongly that they're so dizzy that they can't even stand up straight. You've done that, right? Done the dizzy bat game race before when you're a kid? You know, you put the bat down, you go round and round so much you're ready to throw up and try to run straight. You do that with kids, and man, they're running far off and hitting people because they can't even stand upright. And this is what Paul was saying to us. Listen, I know it's comical, but he's talking about in a spiritual doctrinal stance. There are some Christians who are so immature that they don't even know which way is right or wrong. And he says this is the essential of why pastors and teachers need to give the Word of God. And listen, I want you to understand. Let me do a disclaimer here. This is why I teach and preach the way I do. This is why I want to walk through the Scripture with you every Sunday, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph, because I want you to hear God's message for you every week. I don't want to give you my philosophy. I don't want to give you my understanding. I want to give you the Word of God, which is the hope for the world and the way by which you can mature and grow in the faith. So this is why we equip. Now, what's the result of this? What's the result if you are being equipped and that you're being mature in the faith and not childish? The result is that there's a solid church happening. When we get grounded in the faith, we become solid. Another way of saying this is that we become stable. We become grounded such that no matter what comes our way, you are able to stand the test of time. So let me tell you something very honestly and very plainly. It doesn't matter if Jesus comes back next week, or if he delays another 1,000 years. There have been false teaching since Jesus was on the cross. There will be false teaching until Jesus returns. And so thereby it's important that you and I understand what is true. Now listen to me. It's not that we're just waving a flag and we're saying we're in the right camp and everybody else is wrong. But listen to me. There is one correct teaching when it comes to understanding who Jesus is. Because look at the word again in verse 14. He says, don't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. The word doctrine here in the Greek is plural, which means that Paul is making reference to multiple teachings. In the New Testament, when it speaks about the one true teaching, there's a definite article that precedes doctrine. He would say this is the doctrine of Christ, if it is what is true. And he's using a word doctrine. Listen. People can have wrong teaching and it can be called doctrine. Just because someone says it's doctrine doesn't mean it's right. And he's saying that, listen, there's going to be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. Just as much as the wind changes, their doctrine can change. But the Word of God stands forever and it has stood the test of time. Do not waver. This is the value, church, of being in a body of Christ, so that even though you may be immature in the faith, you can admit that and you can go to someone who's more mature in the faith, and you may have someone come knock on your door or someone at your workplace has may have said something to you that you may have questioned and you're not certain of. The value of being in a body of believers is you can go to someone who's more mature and they can correct you and know what's right from what is wrong. That's the value of being in the body. We've all been there. I've been there before. But listen, this is why we want to make certain that we have a solid church. Let me show you the second truth that is here. In verse 15, in verse 16, we see a second truth is that pastors equip the church so that believers will become active and not passive with truth. Pastors and teachers equip the church so that believers will become active and not passive with truth. This is manifested in this verse in two ways. And this is not disconnected. Listen to me. The three truths that I'm sharing with you today build on one another. You cannot have this second truth of speaking with activeness of the love of God and the truth of God if you're not mature in the faith. If you're maturing in the faith and you have confidence to be able to be active with the truth. Now, how many of you, now you don't have to raise your hand, have felt timid at one point or another to know what to say because you didn't know if you were speaking truth or not? And Paul is saying to us, when we are growing in the faith, we're being mature, then we move from passiveness in our faith to activeness in our faith. Let me show you this in verse 15. Notice the first word that's in this passage. Rather. You see it there? It's a contrast from what has just happened. children are passive when it comes to truth. He's saying, but rather, we're not going to be children. We're not going to be tossed to and fro. But the first way that's manifested where we become active is in our speech. In our speech. Because notice what he says. Rather, speaking the truth in love. Now, what is he contrasting here? He's contrasting two things. First of all, he's contrasting the way we are when we're children. When we're children of the faith, we become maybe fearful or maybe inferior, wondering if we're speaking the right thing. But he's also contrasting the false teachers. Listen to me. The false teachers are not coming to you in love. They're in the hands of who? Satan. Satan is not an agent of love. He's a liar and he's a stealer and a destroyer. And Paul is saying, though, when we become mature in the faith, we're not just being equipped. Because remember, that's the emphasis of verse 12 and verse 13, correct? The pastors and teachers, look at it again. Verse 12, the pastors and teachers are equipping the saints for the work of ministry. So what's the direction of teaching? It's pastors and teachers, the directions to you. But in verse 15, it turns in that you no longer just are passive in the aspect that you are receiving teaching. In verse 15, when you become mature in the faith, guess what you're doing? You are speaking. Hallelujah. What a great picture that is. If we all become equipped in the faith so that every member of First Baptist Church of Lacombe are not afraid to speak the truth. That's what Paul is saying. Don't you want to get there? Absolutely. That's where Paul wants us to be. That's where we need to be. That's why equipping is extremely important, so that we are in our speech speaking the truth in love. How does that practically play out? The truth, remember what he's speaking about, is back to verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Song we sang this morning proclaims this truth, correct? You are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Folks, that's the truth Paul is referring to. Speaking the truth in love. Listen, you cannot win somebody by arguing the gospel. Speak the truth in love. You proclaim the truth because, listen, you don't have the convicting power in you. I don't care how articulate you are. It is the Holy Spirit which takes the Word of God and speaks to people's hearts and convicts them. It is through the truth that is spoken. We speak the truth in love. The first way that we move from passiveness to activeness with the truth is when we're maturing in our speech. The second way that it manifests itself is in our stability. In our stability. Because you notice, take it again. Notice the rather contrast. Rather, what is he contrasting? What has happened in verse 14? A child in the faith goes to and fro and carried about from every wind of doctrine. But Paul is now saying, but rather. Not only you're not a child, but you're mature. Not only are you speaking the truth and just not being passive, but you're being active. But rather, you're not going to be knocked down. You are going to be stable in the faith. Praise the Lord for that. That we can say that through the equipping of the pastors and teachers and hearing the Word of God, you, as a believer in Christ, do not have to be fearful when you wake up tomorrow morning and you go to work. You don't have to be fearful when you go into your families and maybe everyone there is an unbeliever and you're the only believer. You can realize and believe the truth of God's Word. You can say, God, you're equipping me, you are teaching me, and you are empowering me. And because of the Word of God, you're not going to let me be tossed to and fro. Because of the Word of God and because of the Spirit of God who rules in me, and you have sealed me with the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, I will not be tossed to and fro, but I will be stable. And that's why when you begin to make the connections here and you're being maturing in the faith and you're speaking the truth in love, you are being stable. Let me show you how this works out practically in the church. Yes, you're going to speak the truth in love to others and lost people. But Paul's also speaking about how this works in the body of Christ. And so when you become one who's not just passive with the gospel, you're not only speaking truth and love to lost people, but you're speaking the truth and love to your brother and sister in Christ to build them up, to equip them, and to encourage them. And so thereby, they become stable because you've encouraged them. Listen, it's not a gospel that is just external outside these walls. It is a gospel that permeates and saturates and consumes everything that we do. So that when Dickie teaches his Bible study class on Sunday mornings, he's speaking the truth in love to those men. As a byproduct of that, those men get stronger in the Word of God. They're stable, so when they go to their families and they go to their workplace, they can say, I am becoming equipped. I am becoming stable in the faith. I pray that from today, and as a result of this, that you would say, God, make my speech, make my stability to be strong in Christ. You know what the result of this happens? When we reach a point where we are being active and not passive, the result is that we become a Christ-like church. Notice what's the building here. And the first result is that we become a solid church. And we get grounded in the Word. The next thing is that we learn more about Christ and we become a Christ-like church. It's a growing process. Look at the text in verse 15. We speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Do you see the connection? The connection is that you can't grow up into Christ unless we are speaking the truth. Listen, church, truth is essential for growth. Let me make that practical for you. If I simply stand up here and give you five ways to have a good attitude tomorrow morning, I'm not proclaiming to you truth. Let's call it Dr. Phil on Sunday mornings. Everybody with me? Now, sure, that's great. I want you to have a good attitude, but attitude needs to be a byproduct of hearing truth. It's not getting at the core of the issue. And this is what Paul is saying to us. In order for us to grow up into Christ, you've got to hear about Christ. You've got to hear the truth. And that's what he's saying to us. Now, so make the connections. Don't disconnect Paul's statements. Remember, we're equipped, verse 12. You're being equipped for the work of the ministry. You're being built up so that you come to the unity of the faith, mature manhood, the stature of Christ. As a result, you're no longer a child tossed to and fro. And then we're on a step process where we're becoming more and more like Jesus. We're reaching Christ's likeness. Now look at the text again. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Now what in the world does Paul mean when he says we're to grow up into the head? Let me tell you what he doesn't mean. He doesn't mean that you're a Christian and Jesus is disconnected and you have to earn your way to grow up into the head like Jesus. Remember, he has already told us in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 that when we chose Jesus, we were immediately joined to Christ. Look back at chapter 2, verse 21. Notice, too, what he says, who we are joined with. In whom, speaking of Christ, in whom the whole structure is what? Joined together. So by being in Christ, you're joined to Christ. Now go back to Ephesians 4. So what is he saying here? If we're already joined to the head, which is Christ, how in the world do we grow up into the head? It's a physical analogy. We have a couple of new babies in the house this morning. Praise God for those new babies. When a baby is born, now this is not any by disrespect to any babies, because I've had two, so I'm about to tell you what I know I've seen when they were born, okay? When nothing of your baby, okay? Blake is beautiful, all right? When a baby is born, proportionally, the head is bigger than the body. And sometimes you're like, that's my baby, but ooh-wee. Y'all laughing because you thought the same thing. You say, man, that's beautiful, but his head is so big. What happens when a baby grows, the body grows up into the head, meaning that the body becomes in proportion to the head. The head becomes a source of sending the signals and taking care of all of the way it functions together. This is what Paul is saying, is when we come into Christ, we're by no means in proportion the way Jesus is. We have a lot of room for growth, right? And so Paul is saying that when you are constantly being equipped and taught the Word of God, you're soaking it in and you're engaging your mind on Sunday mornings, you're not tuning it out when you're in a Bible study, you're disciplining yourself to hear the Word of God. Paul says by that, you can grow up into Christ. And that's why he says it. When you move from this passive behavior and mentality and we're speaking the truth in love and we get to this active aspect of Christianity and speaking the truth and hearing the truth, we're going to grow up and naturally become like Jesus. It's just the way he's placed it to work. This is why it is essential for you to see the vital importance of the local church. Yes, you grow during the week, and you should. You should be getting the words every day when you're reading the Word of God and spending time in prayer. But the church is when we come together, we praise Him corporately, but also to get another feeding on Sunday mornings. So that I can show you a little bit more of what it is to be into Christ. We're all in the journey of growing together. Growing up into the head. Now I want you to notice something, what Paul distinguishes for us. Guess what, church? You cannot pick which areas you want to grow in. You know that? Look at the text again. Look at verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, say it with me, in every way. Now, if you say, well, I just have a short temper. That's just the way I was. My mom and dad was that way. Hogwash. You say, well, I just don't have patience. Well, I just like to spout off at my kids. Paul says we're to grow up in every way. If Christ is the head and we're to grow up proportionally into Christ, may we quit justifying behaviors. May we say, Christ, take supremacy over this in me. Be Lord over this behavior and this action, this thought, this struggle. So that we can say, God, may you help me grow up into Christ. So if we are matured, we're equipped, we become stable, we have speech that's active, we're not passive, we're not children, that we're mature. Let me show you the third truth from this morning in verse 16. Pastors equip the church so that believers will be joined together as a church. Now, by saying that, you may say, now, wait a minute, didn't chapter 2, verse 21 tell us that we're already joined together to Christ when we come into Christ? Absolutely. You get placed into the body. When she chose Christ, she was joined together into the universal church of Jesus Christ. But Paul is talking about here, when we are in the church, how that it's essential for us to continue to be taught so that we're continually joined together in Christ. Look at the text with me. From which the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Now notice verse 16. Notice those first two words, from which. What's that pointing to? It's pointing back to Jesus in verse 15. He is saying to us that the source for which we are continually joined together has to be in Jesus. It goes back and amplifies the previous truth. That's why it's important for us to continue to speak the truth in love, because Jesus is going to be the only source that keeps us connected. Not going to be anything else. But here's the amazing sovereign work of God. God has chosen pastors and teachers to be the voice of truth that He uses to continue to keep us joined together. It's so that pastors and teachers, by the very nature of its meaning, to be a shepherd, is the one who keeps the flock together. Now, all of you are good sheep, aren't you? And none of you never stray. None of you never struggle, right? That's what Paul has given us the imagery of here, is that pastors and teachers are the one who equips so that we can, once you're joined together, not that you're going to leave the faith. We're not talking about apostasy here. We're talking about making sure that we stay together as a unified body of believers. Now, I'm going to get technical with you just for a moment. I'm going to give you a Greek lesson this morning. I don't do this very frequently, but it's real essential that you understand this. Now, I'm going to use English terms to help you understand this. This word joined and this word held together, you can write this down, are in the present passive tense. Present passive. Let me start with passive, what it means here. It's a divine passive, which means that God is the one who is joining you to Jesus. That when you place faith in Christ, it was a moment in the past that happened, but it's something that God is continuing to do for you. What does that mean? It means, Jane, that when God joins you to Christ, He's not going to let you get disconnected from Christ. He joins you and continues to join you. This is why, if someone has genuinely placed faith in Jesus, you cannot lose your salvation. If you have authentically, at a moment in time, placed faith in Christ, He joins you and He's the one that's holding you together. He will not let you go. That's just like when Jesus said that you're in the Father's hands and He cannot let you go. It's this truth stated. That when He joined you, He's continuing to join you together. Even though in your rebellious flesh sometimes and you begin to kick against Christ, He convicts you because He's holding you together. He's joining you together. And it's in the present tense. This is even good. He will continue to do that until He returns. Some of us, that's real good news for us. And that's all just in the word joined. Now listen, if that was not enough, He just further amplifies it and gives another word of holding it together. The word joined being in the present passive tense means He joined us once. He's continuing to do it. He will continue to do it till Jesus comes. And then He gives us another word saying He holds us together. It's like super glue to you. I mean that He joins you, He's going to continue to do it, and He's going to super glue you, liquid nail you, whatever it may be, to Jesus and the body of Christ. He is holding you to Him. Listen, if you ever think that it's impossible for God to work in your life, that is not what Paul believed. Paul believed that when you were connected to Jesus, that you're important to the body of Christ, and He wants to keep you connected, and He wants to use you for the glory and the kingdom of God. It don't matter if you're 6 or if you're 86. You're joined, and He's going to hold you together. Even though you may feel like your body's falling apart, He's going to hold you to Himself. Now, this is not a statement that says if someone has prayed to receive Jesus and their life is completely contrary to that, they're still connected. If someone has genuinely placed faith in Jesus, they're going to stay in Jesus and they're going to walk like Jesus. That doesn't mean perfection, but it does mean that you're going to stay connected. Because if you're genuinely in Jesus, you can't walk away from Him forever. So Paul tells us that He holds us and He connects us and that we're together. And then notice what he says in verse 16. When we are from whom the whole body joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Now follow this. He joins you. He holds you together. And then there's something that actually holds the pieces together. Joints. Now just imagine if you had an arm without an elbow. You know what that would be? It'd be a stiff arm. How you doing? I'm doing good. Great. You'd be hitting everybody wherever you go. You have a joint to hold these bodies and these muscles together. Now listen to me. Notice the wording that he uses here because he's using a technical word to refer to somebody in the body. What he's about to say here is that there are a few people that God places in the body to be the means by which God uses to keep the body together. You follow that? So he says, and it's every joint with which it is, what's the word? Equipped. Who has he said earlier is doing the equipping? The pastors and teachers. Look back at verse 11 and 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to what? Equip. So what does he come back to? He's saying at the end, don't miss this, church, that he's saying at the end, God connects you, He joins you, and God puts pastors and teachers together to the church body to speak truth, because it's in speaking the truth that is the joints that hold us together. Amen? And so we're thankful that God has a plan. He didn't haphazardly put you together in the body of Christ. He has a plan to keep the church together. Now, there's a result of this. Look at the text. And the result is that there will be a growing church. In verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. Now, how can you work properly? You can work properly when you're submitting to the teaching that's being given and the equipping that's being done. Understand that you're connected to the body and you're important, that you're not just haphazardly just showing up on Sunday mornings and thinking that you're doing your duty. You're actually doing a disgrace and a dishonor to the body when you do that. Paul is saying, we need the body. And what else? You need the body. And the body needs you. And he says that when it's working together properly, it makes the body grow.
so that it builds itself up in love. The result, church, of God's plan here, when he puts pastors and teachers to equip the church, you submit to that teaching, you're growing in the Word of God, you're moving from childishness in faith to maturity, you begin to speak the truth in love, you're not passive, you're active with that, you're sharing the gospel, you're telling people out in the world about Jesus Christ, you're speaking the truth in love to the church, you're growing up to be more like Christ, and as a result of that, every one of us gets equipped, our joints get a little energy, our muscles get to be stretched, and we realize that we're important to the body of Christ. As a result of that, the church begins to flourish. Hallelujah! Then he tells us that the church, he wants the church to grow. And he wants us to grow spiritually. That's his primary emphasis here, that we're growing spiritually. But a byproduct of that, listen, has to be also numerically, because if we're speaking the truth and love to the lost world, guess what's going to happen? Lost people are going to get saved, and God's going to save them and connect them to the body of Christ, and the body begins to grow. Listen, this is God's plan for First Baptist Church of Lacombe. This is why I believe the future is extremely bright for us and hopeful. Because I'm seeing how that some of you are beginning to connect it and understand that you are important and we're all connected together, and that it's essential for us to be here and worship on Sunday mornings to hear the Word of God. And as we're connected, as we use those gifts, God is going to grow us spiritually and numerically. May we focus on the spiritual, because we know that numerically will be a byproduct, a natural byproduct of growing up in love. So where do we go from here? I'm going to apply this to you in just a few ways. Number one, if you are a believer in Christ and you are a member of this church, I want to challenge you to renew your commitment this morning and every week. God, you have placed me at First Baptist Church Lacombe's body for a reason. God, let me not be one that is not working properly. Let me be an agent and a person that you are using to help the body work together, not to be a disgrace to the body. So if you're a believer and you're a part of this church, I want to say to you, renew your commitment to service, not laziness. Secondly, if you are a believer and you are not connected to a local church, I want to challenge you this morning from this word to see the value and the importance that God wants you connected to a local church body. We need you, and you need the body. If you get into the mindset to think that you can live as a Christian, disconnected, be careful, because you're about to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Paul's telling us we need to be connected. So for some of you, it may be that today may be a day that says, you know what, this is a place I'm going to plant myself. You can sign up. Our next membership class is going to start on March 15th. And you can say, you know what, by faith, Jesus, I'm going to step out and say, this is where I'm going to use my gifts. I'm not going to be passive any longer. I'm going to be active, and I'm going to commit to this local body to make a difference so that we can grow together as a body of believers and make a difference on the North Shore. The third way I want to apply this is, for some of you this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Although that you're in this church building this morning and you associate with Christians, sadly, you are not connected to Christ. And Jesus longs for you this morning to be disconnected from Satan and to connect yourself to the body of Christ and this local body of believers. If that's you this morning, in just a moment, we're going to sing a commitment song. And during that time, you can come forward and speak to one of the pastors, and we can guide you to understand what it means to turn from sin and surrender your life to Christ fully and let Him become your head, and you become a part of the body. The last way I want to apply this is to us as a church. For those of us who are here, may we use this time to simply pray, God, help us to stay connected and to grow and work the way you want us to work, for your kingdom and for your glory and for your honor. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the powerful truth of your word this morning. Lord, I know in the ways that I have spoken about application of this text this morning, I know that there are some here that fit that category in every one of those. There are those who have been here for years and they are using their gifts. And for those, Jesus, I want to praise your name for them, for being faithful to serve, to use their gifts. And so, Father, I pray today that you would encourage them today. Maybe when if they've reached a point of discouragement, may you lift up their spirits today to realize that they are important to the vitality and the longevity and the effectiveness of this church. So, God, continue to fan the flame for them. For those this morning, Lord, who are a part of this church but aren't connected, aren't using their gifts. And today, Father, I pray you place a burden in their heart to realize that their giftedness, their usefulness is vitally important for us to work together well and to grow for the gospel of Jesus' sake. And Father, I pray for those this morning who have heard this message and you have spoken to their hearts and they have realized and you have convicted them that although that they are present with us, that they are not connected to you. Today, Jesus, would you call them from lostness, call them from Satan, and call them into the family of God. Be glorified, Jesus, in this time of commitment. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.